Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, hi, and welcome to another episode of The Emma Gunn Show. I am your host, Emma Gunn Awardner, and this episode is an extremely special one. This podcast was recorded live at Estee Lauder HQ in London to kick off Breast Cancer Awareness Month and featured a truly, truly brilliant panel of guests. Elizabeth Hurley, who is Estee Lauder Company's Breast Cancer Campaign Global Ambassador, makes a very welcome return to the podcast. And also joining me are GP and TV doctor, Dr. Zoe Williams, and Lauren Marne, who is the founder of Girl vs. Cancer, co-creator of award-winning podcast You, Me and the Big C, and is 2 years clear of breast cancer. In this episode, with this incredible panel, what we hope to achieve is empower anyone listening to talk more openly about breast health and feel more comfortable and confident checking their own breasts, knowing what their normal is, and encouraging their friends to do the same. I shan't say much more at this point. You know my story. Earlier this year, I had a breast cancer scare and created a couple of episodes around that, including one on breast health, and this really brings all of that together. My panel really do say it all. They really do share so much brilliant insight and information. But I just want to mention that in the episode, Elizabeth, who incidentally flew into London in the very small hours of the morning after a whirlwind trip to New York to light the Empire State Building pink as part of Breast Cancer Awareness Month, mentions the speech that she's given before this podcast recording started. And for the benefit of those listeners who would like to hear it, I have included it at the very end of the episode after we wrap up the live recording. It's honestly an honour to have hosted this podcast, welcomed these women onto the show, and to be a part of something so worthwhile. And I really hope you find this episode useful, comforting, and hopeful, because that was what our intention was in making it. So please do enjoy this live episode of The Emma Gunn Show. Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of The Emma Gunn Show. I am your host, Emma Gunn Awardner, and I'm so thrilled to be joined by this excellent, excellent panel. A welcome return to Elizabeth Hurley, GP and TV doctor Zoe Williams, and broadcaster and founder of Girl vs. Cancer and 2 years clear of breast cancer, Lauren Marne. Thank you so much for joining me. Now, the people in this room will know exactly where we are because they are here, but for the benefit of the people listening, we are at Estee Lauder HQ in central London. And while Breast Cancer Awareness Month, which we are kicking off today, is a global initiative, the Estee Lauder Company's Breast Cancer Campaign was started by Evelyn Lauder in 1992, and she also co-founded the Pink Ribbon, which is the global symbol for breast health and breast cancer awareness. And it's important that we continue to do Evelyn's work that she started in 1992, because those findings do show that every 15 seconds somewhere in the world, a woman is diagnosed with breast cancer. And there is no one better to put the campaign into context than Elizabeth, who has been the global ambassador now for 24 years. So I wondered if you wouldn't mind telling us about the heritage of this campaign.
Well, I think, as I was saying earlier, we've always had two main streams of effort, fundraising and Sorry, I've lost my mind. Fundraising and awareness. And they've both always gone hand in hand. Without the awareness, we can't raise the funds. But, you know, we need the funds to bring this to an end. So there'll be a time where we don't need to make anybody else aware of that. So that's really where we started. And I just wanted to say that even though I did end on rather a somber note of my speech, I would just like to add that in the time that even I've been at the campaign, there have been great, great improvements in the fields of diagnosis and treatment of breast cancer. There's been a 40% decrease in mortality rates since the 1980s, which is a phenomenal success. Doctors could tell you this better than me, but just in layman's terms, breast cancer used to be viewed as one disease, breast cancer. People now know through research that there are many different types of breast cancer, all of which respond to different drugs. So, for example, 25 years ago, perhaps everyone with breast cancer would have been blasted with the same drugs. That doesn't happen anymore. There have been great improvements, and it's through funding research that there will be even more improvements. Sorry, was that too long-winded?
No, that's absolutely fabulous. And would you just remind maybe people in the room and also for listeners at home how you became involved with the campaign?
I became involved because when I started working for the Estée Lauder companies in 1995, Evelyn Lauder came to tell me about the campaign she'd just started and the research foundation she'd started, and she asked me if I'd help. And at that time, it was a very small organisation. Nobody knew really much about breast cancer. She'd only just co-invented the pink ribbon with the then editor of Self magazine, Alexandra Penny, and she wanted to spread the word and use the media very much as her partners to do that, to tell women more about breast cancer and tell them how they should look after their own breasts and how they should try and raise money to put an end to the disease.
Now, Estée Lauder companies have conducted a huge survey of women under 40, and the results came back and said that one in five women have never checked their breasts at home for signs of breast cancer. And Lauren, I can imagine that's a statistic you find quite upsetting and would like to change quickly.
Yeah, I mean, for me it is quite upsetting, but also I knew that when I got diagnosed at 31, I was not checking my breasts. I didn't know I had to. I have quite a small set, so I thought it would not affect me. I thought I had to have an ample bosom. And it turns out, no, any breast tissue means breast cancer. And I wasn't doing it. I know my peers weren't doing it, which is really upsetting, because I think in this day and age we'll feel quite empowered, but, you know, we use our voices, but maybe we're not supporting our own bodies as much as I thought we were.
Were you surprised it was just one in five?
Yeah, completely surprised. But at the same time, surprised, but also I wasn't. So, you know, am I that surprised? Maybe not, actually.
And Dr. Zoe Williams, you speak to women every single day in clinic. And the results also came back and said that there was a real lack of knowledge. People didn't know what they were looking for, and that's why they weren't checking. So you must see that on the ground. How are you sharing that message with people, and how are you communicating with them that they really need to check?
Yeah, there's this real lack of confidence about checking breasts. I think often we're all overthinking it. You know, we think there's one specific way you have to do it. There's one routine, you know, there's a set way and there isn't. It's just about really getting to know your breasts so you know what's normal for you, and then you can identify if something is untoward. And I think in clinic, obviously, I see women who may have concerns, and I'll always ask the question, do you regularly check your own breasts? Some women do, and that's great, and they feel confident, and I don't interfere with that. But often the case is, well, no, because I don't really know how to. So that's an opportunity for me, as I'm examining them, to talk them through how to do it. But I think that's the thing. I think people are perhaps overcomplicating it in their own mind, thinking they don't know how to do it. And actually, no woman should be not checking their breasts because of lack of confidence or embarrassment, which is something else that came up in the study. We need to eliminate that, and I think we all have an opportunity in this room to contribute towards that happening.
In previous episodes of the podcast, when we've talked about breast health, the phrase has come up several times, know what your normal is, know your normal. How vital is that?
I think it's key because, you know, when I did find my lump, which was totally by accident, I didn't know how long it had been there because I wasn't checking my breasts. And I left it for a whole month before I then actually, like, went, actually, you know, it's not my menstrual cycle, this actually needs examining. And if you're not checking it regularly, it's like, we have this big shout about breast cancer, don't we, during October. We see a lot of messaging, but it's no good if you're not checking regularly, because you don't know what your normal is if you're not checking regularly. I'm going to do a little shout out now. Chris Helenga is in the audience from Copperfield. They have a fantastic service. to remind you all to check your breasts. There's absolutely no excuses for any single one of you in this room not to be doing so. That's men and women. You can text the number 70300 and it will send you a monthly reminder text for free to make sure you're giving these bad boys a little squidge. Please do that.
Elizabeth, you were going to say something.
Yeah, I just want to add something. This is something that Evelyn Lauder actually told me personally when she'd always said you have to check your breasts every month. But she also said to me, and maybe Dr. Zoe knows a bit about that too, she said we should always do it at the same time of every month because of the fluctuations which happen naturally during the menstrual cycle. So she said it doesn't matter when. It could be the first of every month or the first day of your period, whatever it is. But you should pick a day and that should be your day. That maybe we get that text from you or a reminder, because apparently there are changes. They can feel lumpier at times or heavier, different.
Yeah, that's true. They can feel tender, they can feel larger, they can change throughout the month. But there is something that happens once a month to most of us below the age of 40 that could serve as a little reminder as well. So getting your period could serve as that reminder. But I do get the texts from Copperfield once a month, and they're usually quite humorous as well. They always make me giggle.
Boo puns for fun. I'm telling you what, they're great.
I think though, there's this anxiety about, you know, if there's anyone in this room who's never checked their breasts before, thinking, right, well, what am I looking for? What should I be concerned about? What am I expecting to feel? Don't worry about that. Just feel them. Just get used to knowing what they feel like. They might feel lumpy, they might feel smooth, they might feel whatever. If there's something there that worries you, see your doctor or see your practice nurse. But actually, on that first occasion, it's not about detecting if anything is abnormal. It's about just getting to know what's normal for you. And the first time you feel them, you won't know. The second time you won't. The third time you won't. But six times in, you'll think, OK, well, I'm pretty confident now. I know what my boobs feel like. I know what's normal for me.
We said at the top of the show that this was about getting women to feel more comfortable about talking about their breast health, breast cancer and breast checking. And when we've been planning this show, we were actually talking to each other about where we learned how to self-check from. And none of us had ever been shown in the planning group. Now, because this is an audio platform, normally I would ask you to raise your hands, but I'm going to ask for a whoop if you have ever been shown how to check yourself by a female friend or family member. I'd say that's
good.
Also relevant, thank you so much. A dismal smattering though, I'd say. It was not an enthusiastic response. So that's what we want to try and achieve here, is getting the women to woman conversation going. And actually, you have a brilliant story about a woman taking you under their wing and saying, this is something that you have to be doing. Be aware of your breast health and do something about it to, I guess, stay in control of it or just monitor it. Evelyn.
That would be Evelyn. Yes. Well, as I just said, it was Evelyn who told me about doing a self-breast check every month and, of course, going to the doctor if I felt there was anything wrong. But she also, and again, this is an area of slight controversy because England has different regulations or rules or advice than America. In America, they say that every woman over 40 should be getting regular mammograms. So she actually gave me, for my 40th birthday, my first mammogram. And she said, think of me every birthday and have a mammogram. So I know in England they have different advice sometimes, so it's worth talking to your doctor about that. But yes, there is a recommendation that after a certain age, it is mammogram. Of course, under 40, you can't really have mammograms because the breast tissue is too dense, which is why you're really on your own. So it really is about self-checking and maybe a regular check with your doctor. Even if you go for a sore throat, perhaps you could ask for a check. But it is in your hands, really, isn't it? Up until you start going in for regular mammograms, it's going to be up to you. And I can't tell you how many girls I've spoken to over the years who are all under 40 and have all found their own lumps. And very often it was something like getting dressed and suddenly your bra is a bit uncomfortable on your rib, or you're sitting watching television, fiddling with a necklace. I was talking to a lady last week, she'd found a lump right here on her breastbone, which you don't even think is in your breast. And she was just playing with it, thinking, what's that? It was breast cancer. So you have to be aware.
Lauren, you were in the position of finding a lump. Mm. And I can't imagine what panic went through your mind, but I wondered what advice you would give to anybody who listens to this, who overcomes that fear and checks and maybe feel something they're not certain about.
My advice is that if it's right, I'm really straight down the line with a lot of things.
And which we love, by the way.
Yes, thank you. If it's cancer, it's not going anywhere. And the only way it's going is south and pretty rapidly. So it's up to you to get over that fear pretty quickly. If it's cancer, it's cancer. and nothing's going to change that, but the waiting around will change a lot. So if you find something that you're not quite sure is right and you're a bit worried about, you kind of just got to woman up and walk into that doctor's surgery and just say, look, I found something, I'm not quite sure, but can you check it out? Most times it is going to be nothing, but in the case that it isn't, if you catch it early, the survival rates of breast cancer are really quite high. The treatments will be a lot kinder. You can save the breast. You can, like, have less invasive treatments, and it's, you know, it's your responsibility at the end of the day. I hate to put the onus back on the person, but I think we're all of a day and age where we feel quite disconnected. And, you know, we're always on our phones, we're all on this. Get off your phones, get in your bra. not at the same time, that's a different show. but I just really urge everyone to kind of take responsibility for their own health. And it is can be scary, but I think the main thing to remember is you're getting to know your new normal, or your normal, I'm in the post-cancer phase, we hear about new normal a lot. But you just need to know your normal, and you're not looking for cancer, you're getting to know what's normal for you. So don't be afraid to check. Just make sure you're checking.
And also, I wonder, to reassure listeners, Zoe, you have people come into you and maybe say, I think there might be something there. Would you mind having a look? You've never thought, silly woman, have you?
Oh, no, no. You know, I mean, we've been doing a very uplifting show, so I'm not going to tell you the sad stories, but actually I've had one patient in particular, it always sticks in my mind, who left it and left it and left it for months and months and months and months, and it was a very poor outcome. I would much rather you come and see me because you've got, I don't know, an ingrown hair in your nipple that you're worried about than not come and see me because you think I might think you're silly. And if nothing else, even if everything's absolutely fine, then that's great. You've given me an opportunity to talk through how to do a breast exam. So, you know, there's no such thing as a wasted appointment with a GP.
And we've talked about this communication, and Lauren, you've talked about the fact that you're very straight down the line, which we love. You've made real strides with Girl Versus Cancer on your podcast and getting the conversation going. What do you think has been the thing that's really taken people from being scared to talk about it to feeling comfortable to talk about it?
I think it's normalising it. I always say that on the podcast on Girl Versus, we talk about cancer like it's EastEnders. Do you know what I mean? Like, it doesn't need to be this big taboo subject. One in two people will be diagnosed with any kind of cancer in their lifetime. So if it's not you, it's someone that you love. And actually, you know, people are living with and beyond cancer a lot longer. So, you know, it's something we just need to get comfortable with. Stop being so clinical and cold. And actually, I think it's up to us as well to have conversations with each other. I think we all shut down a bit. If you could turn to your friend and say, it was actually my friend I turned to at Glastonbury in a tent, a little bit worse for wear, and went, I think I've got something wrong with my breast. And she felt it in the tent and went, yeah, mate, get that checked out. So it's those peer conversations, it's those one-to-ones. I think that's what has helped change it, is with the podcast and Girl Versus, we're talking just openly as friends. It's not this big, scary place. It's accessible.
And you did an absolutely fantastic post on Instagram yesterday about it's not just lumps, there are other signs.
Yes. Yeah, so it's inverted nipple, discharge, a hardening of the breast, any changes in shape, changes to skin, so if you've got puckering, dimpling. People think cancer doesn't hurt, my lump hurt. Pain, persistent pain that is new and persists is a symptom. So don't think you're just watching out for lumps here. It's any kind of change to your breast that isn't normal for you that you will only spot if you're checking regularly.
I'd like to come back to you and your clinic, Dr. Zoe. And to just go back to this whole concept of it being embarrassing and women maybe feeling there's a bit of a barrier about them talking about it and not knowing what to do. And you've said that you show patients, when they give you an opportunity, you show them how to self-check. Mm-hmm. But you're actually doing something really fantastic later on today.
Oh, yeah.
And for people listening, this content will be living on your social media channels. So anyone listening, whenever you are listening to this, you'll be able to find it. But you're doing a live self-check.
I am. So 8 p.m. tonight on my Instagram live, I'll be in my bathroom with my phone stuck to my mirror, and I'll be demonstrating how to do a self-check. So hoping that people either in that moment or at any point in the future, if they're really not certain how to do a breast check, then they can have a look at that and see how to do it. Because I just really believe that this lack of confidence and embarrassment, you know, we shouldn't be putting our lives at risk because we feel embarrassed about our own bodies. You know, we're born with these, they're ours. We own them, they're our responsibility. And, you know, if we don't feel comfortable having a squidge of them, then I think that's a real shame.
Listeners, there are lots of friends of the podcast in the room today, many of whom I have talked with at length about the aesthetics of my boobs, which have been talked on previous episodes as well. But I've never talked about my breast health with my friends. And I do think that that's an important leap that we need to make, mm-hmm. is that we can talk to each other and say, as you did with your friend in that Glastonbury tent.
Yeah, but it shouldn't even be a lump. You know, if one of your friends goes, oh, yeah, like, your boobs look great, and that top goes, thanks, when was the last time you checked yours? Just bring it in the conversation. In any scenario, guys, any scenario.
Basically, just follow Lauren on social media. She will constantly, with her stories, with her grid posts, be telling you to get your hands in your bra.
In your bra. All right, you know, whatever, just check them, please. Look in the mirror as well. It's important how they look. It's not just touch. It's the look.
I was really honoured to be asked to host this panel here as part of Breast Cancer Awareness Month with Estée Lauder Companies. And one of the reasons is because listeners of the show will know, and my friends will know, that earlier this year I had a breast cancer scare. And I had 10 days between the GP's office and being told there was something that needed an urgent referral and my mammogram. And in those 10 days, one's head goes to a very dark and dismal place, and one gets very scared. And I didn't tell anyone what was happening, didn't tell a soul. But I did chat to somebody, sort of, because I kept listening to the podcast you and I did together 2 years ago, where we talked about the breast cancer campaign, and you talked about the survival rates, and you talked about the progress. And for those 10 days, they were facts and figures that I was able to tether myself to have some sort of hope, and that, do you know what? It'll be okay, whatever the outcome. Obviously, I'm very glad to say the mammogram came back clear, but I really did hold on to those words. So I wonder, in closing, if you wouldn't mind telling us just how much progress has been made.
Well, I think a great deal of progress has been made. As I said earlier, mortality rates are down 40% since the 1980s. And if breast cancer is found early, there's a 90% chance of survival, which is just reiterating again, check your own breasts so you're familiar, so when there's a change, you can be more sure that the change is a new change, so that it could be an earlier caught cancer. It is, as Dr. Zoe said, not great if you sit on it and it comes later. Otherwise, a 90% chance. So I'm sure you thought, I'm going to be one of those 9 out of 10 women, that even if I have a lump, it will have just been found. And it is vital.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
It's a really interesting thing to balance the good news that we've had, the progress that we've made, to actually feel really good about the progress that has been made, as well as still really holding on to that fear that breast cancer is still out there and there's not a cure yet. So we have to balance those two things in our mind, look after ourselves and help raise the money so that the researchers can do their job and finally put this disease to bed.
And Zoe, you say as well we should reframe how we think about it, and maybe that will also help with the fear factor.
Yeah, so I did a poll on my Insta story recently and found that 50% of my followers, many of whom are healthcare professionals, which is even more concerning, are not regularly checking their breasts. So when I asked the reasons why, several people came back and said because they're afraid of what they might feel and they might detect breast cancer there and then. And, you know, as much as breast cancer, we need to fight against it and hopefully find a cure. There's one kind thing that breast cancer does, and it gives us a clue that it's there. There are other cancers like ovarian cancer, pancreatic cancer, and they're often detected late and they have poor outcomes. Breast cancer gives us a clue that it's there, but we'll only find that clue if we're looking for it. So it really is down to us to make sure that we detect it early. And as Elizabeth said, you know, if you detect it early, really, we could start to think of it more as a chronic disease than as a deadly disease, because 9 out of 10 people who detect it early will survive.
Thank you so much. We are going to hand it over to a Q&A now to the assembled audience. And as I said, listeners, many, many friends of the show are in the house. We have Jules von Hepp.
Woo!
He's whooped. We've got Robin James from Man for Himself, Caroline Barnes. So are there any questions for the panel? Yay! Hello! Oh, I'm so sorry. I am going to do a bit of housekeeping. Please do wait for the mic. This is Natalie from Star Me Sunday.
So one of my friends has recently found a lump that's painful, and she's been to the doctor, and the doctor has said it's hormonal. How do you know whether to listen to the doctor or to pursue it and go further?
Guess that's one for me, right? Yeah. Okay, bearing in mind, as a GP, as an experienced GP, I have felt hundreds of breasts, and there are different signs that I'm looking for. Specifically, if it's a lump, as we said, there are lots of other signs. But if it's a lump, then there are some lumps that I feel very often that tend to go away after 2 weeks, and that could be hormonal, something which is termed a breast mouse. It's actually fibrous tissue, and they move around and they change. So with that advice, I would hope and expect that the doctor said, if this is still there in a couple of weeks, then I want you to come back. And, you know, with breast cancer, 2 weeks is a lifetime, right, if you're worried about a lump. But actually, within a two-week period, a breast cancer to develop to the next stage, it takes a very, very long time. So we do have that
longer 2 weeks. Longer than 2 weeks, that's for sure, yeah.
It's been there longer than two weeks. Yeah. And it's still there. Yeah. She should go back. Okay.
Any other questions? We'll come to you, Robin, don't worry.
Hello. I'd just like to know if there's any correlation between lifestyle choices and breast cancer. Is there anything we can do in our lifestyle to help prevent it?
Well, having spoken to a lot of oncologists, doctors, research scientists, they all are recommending the healthiest lifestyle we can live. Everybody thinks you shouldn't smoke. Mm. Many people think you should very much look at your alcohol consumption and be the healthiest body weight you can be. I think there are some links between estrogen, fat cells, etc. I'm not the person to tell you properly about that. A doctor should. But there have been links. So it's really being as healthy as you physically can, I think.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely right. So your risk of breast cancer is partly due to your genetics, which you can't do anything about, but also partly due to your lifestyle factors. And you're right, so fat cells, subcutaneous fat cells, can increase the risk, increase the amount of circulating estrogen. So if you have an estrogen-dependent breast cancer, then that can be implemented. But also things like being physically active. So for postmenopausal women, being physically active, and that's just doing, you know, 25 minutes of fast walking a day, can reduce your risk of breast cancer by about 20%. So actually, it's a significant reduction in risk, and that's irrespective of whether you lose weight from being active, but just being active. So healthy diet, healthy weight, physical activity, but also stress. I think we're learning more and more about how stress as a lifestyle factor is really important for all chronic diseases and many cancers as well.
Well, just to butt in for a second, I'm not going to make you get up on stage, Dame Leslie, and tell us about that. But when I visited Leslie in her laboratory, they were doing a very interesting study on cortisol, the stress hormone, and how it could affect you when you're receiving cancer treatments. And I don't know if any of that's conclusive yet, but it was really interesting. We're always told to de-stress. Stress is bad for you. It would seem that it really, really is bad for you and could affect the efficiency of your chemotherapy. So there'll be more of that to come, and that's exactly the sort of thing that some of the areas of research are, which is more, again, about lifestyle and maybe some preventative matters that we can take. So people are working on that.
And it's for recurrence as well. And I know you're really active, aren't you?
Yeah.
Is that something you talk about a lot, about the importance of being active?
Yeah, for me, it's a mental health thing as well, though. But I was really, really active before I got ill. And you know, I think it's fair to say, you know, you can't cancer-proof your life, but you can give yourself a fighting chance of having a lower risk. Mm. I just think being, like you said, being healthy in general is going to make things a lot better for you and your outcomes, whether you get cancer, whether it returns. So just got to do your bit, you know, try and support your body. You only get one, so you've got to look after it.
Oh, we have more. We do have Robin James in the front, friend of the show.
Hi. Obviously, breast cancer is a really personal subject, but what can men do to support women, be it the best thing to do or the easiest thing?
Talk about it and check yourselves. I'm glad that's come up, actually, because men can get breast cancer. So men should be checking their pecs as well. Really important. And I believe there's quite a high profile case.
There is.
Beyonce's dad has announced today that he has breast cancer. So, but I think if you're a man, check yourself, but also talk about it. You are very much allowed to ask your sister, your mum, your friend, your girlfriend, your partner, whoever, woman next door, let me check your breast this month, Marjorie.
And also there's a statistic, isn't there, that a lot of, like, in heterosexual couples, a lot of males do actually find the lumps for their partners. And I think there's something to be said there that, you know, if you find something, not to be scared to approach it with the person that you love and just say, hun, there's something not quite right, I've just found something. Again, it's that care of not just yourself, but those that, around you that you love too.
I had quite a few questions over here.
Hi there. My name's Helen Addis, and I'm finishing actually my breast cancer treatment tomorrow.
Woo!
Hurrah!
Woo!
But I wanted just to say that, just echoing what you were saying, that I was 39 last year when I got my diagnosis. Went to the gym 3 times a week, ate pretty healthy, don't smoke, have no family history whatsoever, and came across my random lump, which came out of nowhere. And I agree that the cortisol levels, that could have been something very much to do with it. But what would you recommend? Is there anything that you would recommend in terms of, I was maintaining everything else fairly well in my life, apart from managing work and 3 kids and, you know, rather lazy husband. But apart from that, you know, is there anything you could suggest in terms of, you know, managing stress levels?
Well, it's interesting because with Dame Leslie, I took part in one of her stress tests. So I don't know what you think, but they did something where they took some blood of mine to check cortisol levels at different times during the day. So I thought I would be at my most relaxed and stress-free if I was lying down on the sofa watching Netflix or something. I imagined that was me at my most relaxed. We took, actually it wasn't blood, was it? It was spit. Yeah, it was spit. So we did a test. And then they said, now you have to go for a nicely paced walk outside, which I did, and spat into the test tube and handed it over. Okay, cortisol levels way down from the walk, up, lying on the sofa watching Netflix. So I didn't know that. People always say exercise is good for you for many ways. It's good for your heart, it's good for your muscles, it could help you with weight control, etc. Who knew it relaxed you? Well, maybe you all did, and it was just me being silly. I didn't know. So, you know, I think we'll be hearing a lot more about the effects of stress on us. It's very difficult to say to people who are stressed, be less stressed. It's particularly difficult for people undergoing chemotherapy to say, can you just be a bit less stressed, please?
Yeah.
It might be a better treatment, more effective. Very difficult. But somehow, maybe we have to find the way to do that. Maybe there'll be a drug one day, I don't know. But certainly, if this is something, it may become more significant for all of us. So, yes, we have to find a way to de-stress, ladies. It's really hard. We're the caretakers of the world. Sometimes we have to learn to caretake ourselves, and that's hard for us. But it could maybe save our lives.
Yeah.
So we have to try.
Can I just say, before we move on to the next question, lovely Helen Addis is actually the magnificent legend behind the Change and Check campaign you may have seen on Lorraine. And yesterday she launched the Boo Bus. So she's a force. I just wanted to congratulate you, Helen, in front of all these lovely people.
Thank
well done.
You.
Can I just add one thing in there as well? Something we absolutely mustn't do. If we're talking about the lifestyle factors in relation to breast cancer and health in general, what we mustn't do is attribute any blame or blame ourselves and think, well, you know, what if I'd exercised more or what if I'd done this? Because actually, most of the time, that's not going to make a difference. So we can feel empowered to do what we can to reduce our risk. But actually, for most people, breast cancer is the commonest cancer. And for most people who are going to get it, they're going to get it. It's not your fault. It's not anything you did. You couldn't have prevented it. So whether or not you get it, you have less control over. But whether you check and identify it early, you know, which we keep coming back to, that's the thing you do have control over. So whether you survive it, you have much more control over.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, Ate and her.
Hello. I'm Atte Jewell. Lovely to say hello. And thank you for everyone who's done so much for this cause. I'm getting very emotional. My cousin, who's more like a sister, has just been diagnosed, and I feel totally powerless. How can I emotionally and practically support her? That's what I wanted to ask.
I'll go for that one. I think the best thing to remember is when someone gets diagnosed with cancer, obviously you love them and you want to make it better. You want a solution, but that's not your role. Your role is just be there, listen. And for me, it was a little practical thing. So every chemotherapy, one of my best friends would come round to my house with a massive vat of chicken stock, like chicken stew on the bones. It's got all the good nutrients. It was amazing. And I could then package it up, put it into like little containers, freeze it. Because when you're going through chemo and stuff, your taste buds go, your energy levels are low. Sometimes you don't want to even get out of bed to have a wee. Do you know what I mean? So you need to make life easier. And it's those little things of letting someone be scared. Because I found what I really struggled with was, you know, cancer can be a really scary place and your mind goes to the places. And you want to sometimes articulate that and you want to say, I am scared. I don't want to go back in for chemo. It's torture. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. And actually, I found that a lot of my friends and my family would shut me down and go, oh, no, it will be fine. Oh, you can do it. And it's like, just let me be scared. And I think that is a really valuable thing you can do for your cousin. And
but I know that's not what she needs.
What she'll need is big cuddles, sitting a lot of sitting around at her place, probably watching films well when everyone else is on the lash, because that used to drive me mad. I used to be like, I just want to go and get drunk with my friends like a normal 31-year-old. And actually, my friends coming around and having a chippy dinner with me and watching Netflix was a real help. It made me feel like me still. So those are the things. So there's practical things like offering to take them to the hospital, sitting with them during chemo, making the healthy foods, maybe going off and doing a bit of research on your own, and or asking your doctors for some advice, because a lot of people will ask them questions, and questions are questions to be answered, and it can feel like a lot of pressure, and you repeat yourself a lot. Also, please tell her, everyone's going to start asking to see her for coffee. She does not have to go. I've never been offered for coffee so much when I got sick. So tell her to take care of herself. She's very lucky she's got you to support her and she's going to be fine.
Thank you very much.
And if you're worried, please just come and talk to me. I'll help her. I can.
I think we have time for one more question.
Hi, I'm Jackie from Sky, and I've had breast cancer and I'm five and a half years clear now. Woo! And just to answer your question, the thing I wish people had done for me when I was doing chemo was my shopping. Nobody ever offered, no one ever did it. It's a pain in the arse. Do her shopping.
What a glorious note on which to end this live panel discussion with an absolutely incredible, incredible guest, Elizabeth Hurley, Dr. Zoe Williams, and Lauren Mahn. Thank you so much.
Hi, everyone. It's incredibly nice that you've joined us here today. I hope you'll learn something from our panel. And I just wanted to say a massive thank you to people working in the media, because when Evelyn started this campaign in 1992, it was a completely different world. There was no pink ribbon, no Breast Cancer Awareness Month, nobody spoke about breast cancer, and nobody really knew anything about breast cancer. Evelyn Lauder and her campaign, which I've been a part of for the last 24 years, has been a very important part in really changing the way the world thinks about breast cancer. It's impossible now for people born before that time to imagine a world without the pink ribbon, but I was definitely in that time when we didn't know about it, and when Evelyn asked me to help her with her campaign when I joined the Estée Lauder companies in 1995, she told me that she'd started this campaign called the Breast Cancer Campaign, and she'd started a research foundation to fund research into breast cancer. And when I asked her why, she said, because women all over the world are dying and no one is talking about it, which is what I want to change. Now, she did change that. People have talked about it. There's people in this room who've been unbelievably helpful to us with the stories they've used in their magazines, on their news shows, on their podcasts. But now, you know, things have moved on again, and now there is so much more value which can be got from influencers and Instagrammers and people like that who can really, really help us spread the word, particularly to a younger generation. Because as you saw from Anna's statistics, it's really surprising to me that younger women don't know as much as I thought they knew
about breast cancer. And that's something which we now have to really concentrate and change. You're going to hear from a lovely lady later today who is a breast cancer survivor who was diagnosed in her early 30s. She'll tell you her story. She didn't know too much about breast cancer when she was diagnosed. And we have a really wonderful incentive that we're doing this year, which anybody who has any influence on Instagram could help us with. And it's a great way for people to get involved. A lot of people say to us, how can I help? What can I do? Well, as we've just heard, a very important thing is to tell people to become aware of their breast health and to familiarize themselves with their own breasts. But there's another really fun thing that people can do to help raise money this year. All we're asking is for people to take a pink lipstick, any pink lipstick, draw a pink ribbon on their hand, take a photograph of themselves for Instagram, post it using two hashtags, time to end breast cancer and ELC donates, and we're going to donate $25 per post up to $250,000. So it's a really great way that if you could all do that on your pages, it's got to be a post, not a story. If you do that, you know, everyone can feel they're part of a really big process. And in fact, we've worked out that between all of us in this room, we have more than 10.5 million followers on Instagram. So between us all, we can definitely hit that $250,000, which we need. We fund the best research scientists in the world. One of them is sitting right here, Dame Leslie Fallowfield, who we've had the pleasure of working with for a long time. I visited her in her lab. I've seen the unbelievably important and interesting work that she does. Through research, we will find a cure for breast cancer. And the only thing between today and a breast cancer-free world is really money. So we have to raise money. And the sooner we do it, the sooner women will stop dying. So on that rather somber note, we'll cheer up a bit. I'd love to invite the panelists to join me on stage. And I'm going to hand you over to the fabulous Emma G.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.